the panel, which is half the circle, and introduce ourselves. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? We are so thankful, Father, for this day and for your love and your presence here with us and this opportunity to talk about ministry to a really important group of people. And I pray, Father, that you will be in our conversation, help us to hear each other well and to come away with some ideas and thoughts that might help our ministries. And we just thank you, Father, again. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm April McNeese. I'm associate pastor at Karcher NAS over here in Nampa. And one of my primary responsibility areas for the moment is young adults. And with some other responsibilities along the way. But Kenny asked me to kind of lead the charge here. And so I'm going to ask the other panel members to introduce themselves.
Yeah. My name is Oscar, and I recently started growing my mustache, so let's just get it out of the way. Let's get it out of the way. If I could grow that, I would be happy. Likewise.
Tired of having to shave.
I don't know about that. Likewise, I'm also at Karcher as an associate, and I've been responsible for the Hispanic ministry and developing that from the ground up, so it's been a fun journey being there.
Yeah, my name is Roman. I am a resident director at NNU for the freshman boys. I'm going on finishing up my third year. I graduated with a degree in missions, and I'm finishing up my master's degree here in a week and a half in missional leadership.
So,
can't wait.
Well, my name is Stacy, and I am over at Boise Euclid Church of the Nazarene, right next to Boise State. And if you were in the session this morning, I just want to reiterate that I will not be naming my child Benjamina. That's not happening. So, but we are keeping her name a secret till she comes at the end of May. But anyway, so I'm an associate pastor there, and I am just kind of a jack of all trades and partner with the lead pastor, Ben, to reach the needs of our context. And we have majority young adults that attend our church, and then a pretty big age gap there where we have elderly generations. So it's kind of a unique setting.
So. I'm Carly Bartlett, and I am on staff at Eagle Nazarene Church, and we have a satellite campus here in Nampa, and so I'm one of the lead pastors at that satellite campus. And we also have lots of young adults in our congregation, college students, post-college, and we're just always learning how to journey together and yet also seeing the value, and I'll probably talk about this more, but the value of intergenerational ministry as well.
Jeremy Johnston from Salt Lake City Central, senior pastor, worship leader, youth leader, everything else. Whatever has to be done, janitor. Kind of do it all, so I don't know.
Well, I think based on the size of the circle that we need to know who you are too,
exactly.
So let's just keep going.
Okay, I'm Donna Comfer, and I teach Sunday school at Father Nazarene.
Okay.
I'm Carol Kopflesh, and I also teach. I'm from Father Nazarene and also teach Sunday school class.
Okay.
Do some music.
I'm Ruth Cook. I'm at Bethel, Airtown, and do whatever. Seems to be done.
I'm Cassie. I'm a Valley Shepherd, and I'm obviously a young adult, so that's why I came, but also a part of like the 20-something class, so post-grad or post-college, play music there, kind of do whatever needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm Candy Abel. I'm at Bethel. I have two young adults at NNU, a senior who graduates
next week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But she has two more classes to finish in the summer, but she's so excited she gets to walk anyway. And then I'm a sophomore. Yeah. And those are our missionaries.
I'm Eddie Wheeler, and I'm at the Ontario Nazarene Church on staff there as the music pastor and the young adult pastor. So,
okay. Cool. Very good. Questions that Kenny offered us, and we can jump into these, or we can just kind of see where we go from here. But, he talked about... wanted to know kind of let me just throw all these things out and then we can kind of decide what we want to do. Best practices that you've discovered in involving young adults in mission or specific challenges you have experienced engaging young adults in mission. Suggestions you'd have for someone looking to be more intentional about engaging with young adults. And that's pretty much it. Closing in prayer and be encouraging.
Well, can I just pose something? Our congregation is unique also in that that we have a lot of seniors and we have children, and then we have a wonderful youth leader that has started a quizzing program. But as far as college age and the young adult age group, we don't have many, and we desperately need to know how to reach out and engage that age group.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And along those lines, it seems to me, has seemed to me for years, as a mom of young adults and watching your friends and all, it seems that at that time when they maybe hung around for college, or maybe this starts after high school for a lot of them, they kind of just go away. And this is a real burden for the church. I think that we still are trying to find what's the key to keeping them there. And, you know, generally if they grew up in the church, they'll come back at some time. But during that time when they're mating and having children, you know, they are kind of lost for a while, a lot of them. And that, I think it's kind of it's a huge thing upon the church that we tend to kind of ignore because we don't really know good answers. I know there are seminars going on out there and there are people like you guys that are doing this, but I'm here because I want to know, you know, what are the new answers for this?
There is a lot of material out there about the fact that kids get out of high school. We have catered to them in youth groups, and this is a stereotype. This isn't across the board, but we've catered to them in children's ministries and in youth groups, and then all of a sudden we're expecting them to be adults and just join in as an adult.
Yes.
And and they're like, well, this doesn't sound like fun.
No.
And, you know, I mean, just in a general sense, I think it's not unusual for kids out of high school to take some time to figure out whether or not they want to be in church. I stand amazed at the ones that come for Sunday school every Sunday morning in my class, because I'm thinking nobody's, you know, they're getting up and coming at 9:15 on a Sunday morning. Nobody's making them get out of bed. I don't think Roman's kicking them out of the dorm room. But making that choice, and some of them, it takes them a little longer than others to get back to realizing they need to be in the church. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, a little disclaimer. I'm not in a young adult like ministry, so.
Yes, you should be.
I won't.
We're talking about
that. Ministry.
I don't have like the tips and tricks, but I have worked on a project. Was called The Mill, and it was this worship night basically that I think could help a little bit as we have this discussion. When we started off, this project was basically, let's get all the churches in the area to just come together for a night of worship, like different denominations, different backgrounds, come together. And when we started off, Roman helped me a little bit on that as well. When we started off, we had a clear vision. Like, we knew what we wanted to do. And the details were going to sort itself out. But what we found is as soon as we found the vision, that people just kind of came in and like were knocking on the door and just saying, how can I be a part of what's happening?
Oh, wow. They're looking for something.
They're looking for something. And I think that someone from my church, his spiritual leader, Larry Webb, he mentioned, and he always says, vision attracts resources. It's basically is if you spend the time and to really dig in and discern what God might want to do, like everything else will kind of follow. Resources meaning, you know, financial, but also volunteers and people. And then in the Bible it talks about, you know, the people perish who don't have a vision or something like that.
Yes.
So then we kind of, at least for me, got to start to shape that vision plays a huge part in our community in terms of, okay, like why are we gathering on Sunday morning? Are we just going to come together? But if there's a specific, you know, mission or envision that God has given us, it's a lot easier to sell the church to people. You know, it's about young adults. They'll want to be a part of what God's doing. And then all in with this, that requires us to be willing to change and adapt.
Yes.
Because I have found even in our own mind, whatever we think is normal, kind of traditional or comfortable church, at some point that was a new idea and that was a new thought. And as we think about like the most seasoned, you know, version of church in this space is still so far removed from like where everything started, and like everything has adapted and everything has changed and the Lord is always doing a new thing.
Yes.
So our challenge is to discern what is that new thing that God is doing.
So it begins on our knees.
It does.
That's right.
It really does. And I think we underestimate that part.
Yeah.
That we think that, oh, like, why, you know, let's go and jump into the curriculum, the material, the books, and let's just start learning. But rather, the biggest thing that we'll learn comes from spending time in the Lord, in the presence of God.
But that's the only way we'll know what His plan is and what He's doing,
right,
so that we can jump in.
Exactly.
You know, I think about, you said you have a youth group going. You know, I would be working with kids that are juniors and seniors in high school and kind of trying to tie into them about if they're going to stick around. Are they leaving town when they get out of high school, or are they, you know, if they're staying in the area, just...
Mm-hmm. And we don't have a lot of...
Giving them ownership
juniors
of
and seniors.
Something.
So, remind me, you said you're from Filer. Filer. So, what is the demographics of Filer? Is it... Are there any universities around, and kind of piggybacking
CSI
after?
CSI is the closest.
Yeah, we have CSI in Twin Falls, College of Southern Idaho.
How far is that?
So how far is that?
8 miles.
Oh, okay, so that's not bad at all.
No,
I wondered about the demographics. If you know, I've served in a context before that was very far removed from young adults, but we had the big youth group, like all that stuff. And we experienced something similar where there was such a drop-off afterwards.
Yeah.
But there was no, like, majority of the students were going off to college afterwards, and the closest one was, like, an hour away.
Okay.
And so the demographics of the community didn't really reflect that kind of a demographic. You know?
It makes
so
a difference.
It does. And so that was just one of the questions that I had,
good
if that
question.
Was a ripe place for, you know, engaging with young adults and coming alongside them and reflecting the community that you're a part of, or if you're just like, oh, we really want young adults, you know?
Yeah.
We don't have any in our town, but we want to.
Right. Well, and it's surprising that happens quite often, where people just have this sadness, like, oh, all of our youth are leaving, and it's like, yeah, but if there's nothing in the city that's, you know, if they're not there, then how can you partner with what you do have, and how can you reflect the community around the church rather than just feeling like you need to check all the boxes, you know?
Yes.
But just a question I had about that.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of thinking a little bit about what Oscar was saying, I think having just the face time with young adults and just going, what's going on in your world, and what do you care about, and just helping them be known, and then those influential, even if there's one influential young adult in your church, inviting them to the table for strategic and vision type conversations.
Yeah.
Because if you get even one that's excited and feels like they have a sense of ownership and empowerment over what's happening, then really empowering them to be the influencer to bring more people in. And I think that if that one, even if it's one, knows that they have a voice, then they start to get excited about what's happening. And can also help shape the culture. So I think that's really significant. And there's a book called A Seat at the Table by Tim and Shauna.
Gaines.
There are a couple, Tim and Shauna Songer Gaines. And they wrote this book, and they have done so much studying about young adults leaving the church and how to continue to engage, and so that's one that I recommend.
It's a good book.
A Seat at the Table. Mm-hmm.
Or even, did I understand that they were passing out free Growing Young books to pastors this morning?
I heard that.
So Growing Young, if you haven't heard of that either, by Kara Powell, is incredible, and it speaks to pastors and congregation members and Sunday school teachers and all the different roles within the church, and it talks about entering into relationship with young adults. And walking alongside them, and just the impact that makes. Just like Carly was saying, it just starts with intentionally creating those relationships and caring what's going on in your life, you know? But it's another really great resource.
Who was the author on that?
Kara Powell. And there's another
one. Yeah, she was one of the authors on Sticky Faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they pull in a lot of those statistics too, which is really
amazing. How are the rest of you involved in any kind of
intentionality?
As regarding intergenerational kinds of things in your context? I know we have found it really interesting in that we have got a deal going last summer where we as the young adult class were crashing other adult Sunday school classes and then inviting those adults to join us for lunch, and we were fixing lunch for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the classes in particular that's all people in their 60s, maybe even 70s, that have wanted to continue that and want to occasionally, once a quarter or something, do a potluck. Well, not really potluck, and the young adults don't bring anything, but the other class does. You know, just getting together with them staying after church for lunch.
Yeah.
And it's been a really interesting thing. And we have done this a couple of different ways. One was when we had invited them into our Sunday school class space, I'd bring donuts and mix up young adults and older adults at the tables and just have some questions where they got acquainted.
Yeah.
Because my theory was that if the young adults knew these older adults, they could all be friends, and then they might feel more comfortable in a traditional church setting. So.
Yeah.
Good.
You guys done any kind of trying to mix the generations a little bit?
Well, we don't have any leaders for children's church, so our kids are always in the services. And one thing that we're kind of in the process of kind of implementing is kind of like adopt a kid, because a lot of the kids we bring in, their parents don't come to church. You know, we bring them in. So it's like I made these little prayer cards and put their picture on it, and it's like a faith promise type of idea. Hey, this is the one you're adopting. Sit with them, hang with them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe teach them in the service. You know, if we have little bags with crayons, depending on how old they are, you know, you're encouraging them, and you know, if you can contact them throughout the week, you know, things like that, or if you can come on the after-school programs during the week. But doing things like that, it's kind of funny how when we have meet and greet, all the kids are running around hugging everybody as much as the, you know, the older kids, younger kids, everybody's, so it's never been, well, hey, your kids get out of here, because we've never had that option. So maybe we do it maybe once a month or once every 3 months or something if somebody steps up and says, I want to do that. But we've noticed that when they're in there, especially newer kids that have no clue church, what, you gotta sit here, you know? And so you see them get wild, and you get some of the people, oh man, those kids are just, and then after so many weeks, you start seeing them kind of settle down and kind of filling in and fitting in and helping and being a part. We got a few of them that lead the song that when we're all done greeting each other, we sing a song to bring everybody back together, and the kids lead that.
Oh,
the kids do that, so it's not any of the adults that do it. So that's pretty cool. So I don't know. Those are just things that we kind of.
I agree. I think those kind of relationships are going to keep some of those kids as they get into young adulthood. Keep them close.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The relationships are.
I can attest to the fact that that really works, because I was one of those kids.
Absolutely.
My family was, I was one of 9 children, and my parents wanted us to be in Sunday school, but they didn't want to go to church, so my dad would take us, or later on the Sunday school bus would come pick us up, and, you know, that became our second home.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people were so welcoming and
right.
So warm and so much of this, you know,
that's so cool.
That it
that's
really
amazing.
Did work for our family.
Yeah,
that's really cool. In our context, we're kind of in a really interesting situation. So our church here in Nampa started out as our young adult ministry service, And then we, after a year and a half of that, went, oh, wow, okay, this is turning into, like, people's church home. So let's do this, like, have discipleship and make sure that we're, like, really providing what people need at a home church. And so we really have primarily young adults, and we have been praying for that entire time of, since this switch, going, God, we need some other generations to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. And the young people are, like, craving mentors from other generations and the wisdom. They constantly are coming and saying, Carly, who can I meet with? And you know, I try to meet with as many people as I can. But
they don't want to go to a rank, you know, to a
yes, but yes and no. You know, I think yes and no. And many of them are new believers, and so they're going, they don't even probably have a context of what's a regular church on it, to be honest. Like, we have a lot of people that are coming that are homeless and recovering from drug addiction. I mean, there's just a lot of people that are brand new to this whole thing. And so anyhow, that's it's so just cool. Been a huge prayer request, though, for us, going, okay, we are kind of a strange, like, not normal church culture, and yet it's just been really beautiful to see these young people going, okay, we need mentors. And so we are working with Eagle Nazarene to try to get some families to come over and be a part. And it's a slow process because people also get, you know, start growing roots where they are. And, you know, so I guess I would just say, from my perspective, and this, we've been in existence over here in Nampa for 3 years or something, just to go, oh my goodness, building a church on one generation alone, whether it's young adults, whether it's seniors, whatever, it's not healthy. Like, we really do need each other. And so
true.
I think, yeah, we're just learning and asking the Lord to help us know how to do that even more in healthy ways in these days. But we really do need each other. So I think it's really beautiful that you're all here representing different generations too, because, yeah, it may seem like young adults are not engaging in the church, but there's been studies that say young adults, they want and need mentor figures in their lives. And so just know that, like, your heart's cry to even be here today, and that you have the passion to see young people know Jesus, you will be an integral part of their story.
Yes. Thank you. That's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you guys think about this? I'm going to ask all of you. But when you think about it, when we're talking about discipleship, in Utah and Salt Lake, we're talking some different methods because we are the number one churched state, but the least evangelized. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a lot of young people that come out of the LDS church, or that are in the LDS church, or they're in this, or they come from their parents. I mean, it's just, they don't want anything to do with anything that says church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's pretty challenging when it comes to that age level, you know, because they're just all running away from it. And they, you know, even if it's real, even if it's not fake, and so my question would be, do you guys think when it comes to young adults that the study, the discipleship, the getting into the meat of the word is a higher priority than getting to know who they are? Does that make sense? Because it seems like to me people want somebody that's real, not just here's a lesson, take this lesson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's that, you know, that old saying I'm sure you all have heard, that people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so that relationship is just like, it's so foundational. It's so important. Because if you just show, and especially if they already are having an aversion to the church and are just, you know, so shut off from it, what is going to make them want to have any interest in it? You know, if that's, you know, but if they see it being lived out and they see it in those relationships and they see, oh, this is different, this isn't what I thought it was, I think that we can never never underestimate, you know, what the impact that can make.
Mm-hmm.
I would echo too, even just some of the things that Carly was just saying, you know, the demographic where I'm at is unique. It's different. We've got a lot of young adults and a lot of elderly folk, and we've got young adults who are saying, I want mentors too. Like they they go to the Sunday school class that has, you know, majority of them are just elderly people in our congregation, and they love it. They love to just sit at the feet of these people who have known Jesus for so long and just listen and glean from them. But I think a huge part of that too is because we've seen one-on-one the elderly folks in our congregation go out of their way to get to know the younger generations. It's a one by one kind of situation. It's not necessarily a program, but it's them being like, I want to know these people. I want to know what they're excited about. I want to know what they're struggling with. And as that's taken root, I've seen our young adults reciprocate that and just like, oh, I just want to learn from them. I just want to be around them. And so translating to Salt Lake City too, you know, I think that that could be really powerful, is having individuals rather than saying, okay, we have to set up this structure. It's a different way of thinking, you know, it's a different way of understanding what it means to be the church.
How big is your church?
Oh, we're pretty small. We've got probably active members, we see like 50 to 60 or so. And then I think members, I think our report said 70 something. So we're fairly small, but
I actually think that sort of thing is more doable in a smaller church.
Sure.
Where I might lose friends here, but I think the bigger our churches get, the more we tend to divide them into, you know, here's our contemporary worship and here's our traditional worship and here's our old people Sunday school and here's our young people Sunday school, and there's nothing for you in betweens. And you know, I think too often we don't mix the ages.
Yeah.
Like in our Sunday school classes, mine is pretty much oldies.
Ours is mixed. Come join us.
It's not completely. Actually, we have a couple of little kids, young kids, that like to come, like pre-junior high, you know, middle schoolers, that like to come because they like to listen to the older people. Mm-hmm. It's like what you're saying. But I think that in that middle ground, we tend to lose people when we've divided everything up so much.
Right.
And I really don't think that's our friend.
Yeah.
Right. I really don't.
Yeah.
I love it when the church, the whole church, worships together.
Yes.
You know, you've got, and I like hearing little kids in the background. And,
yes,
you know, seeing moms get up and take them back and forth. And I love that. And I think we have gotten away from that to the point that it's harmful to us.
Mm-hmm. And I think an interesting other dividing thing that we do in the church is the single class and the married class.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
when I was thinking more about your question, like, why are these people wanting mentors but not going to traditional churches? We have a lot of people that are new or early on in their faith, like I said, but we also have a lot of single older young adults. Older young adults. And so post-college singles, I think we, in our church, and we run about 50 to 60 and at the Nampa campus every week, and I would say there's four married couples. Everyone else is single. And so if they interject into a church where they're the only young adult option is the young married's class, then where do they fit?
Right.
Or if they're all their friends are married but they have to go to the single class, and I just it can be a challenge.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges we have. A year ago this month we were running in the class that we call the YAC group, which is young adults at Carter, about 30 people typically on a Sunday morning, and somebody decided it was time to start a young marrieds class because there were several couples in the YAC group that had gotten married and were just staying together because they're with their friends. And I'm just being honest here. Anyway, and I agree. I think it's important for those young married couples to build into each other. And so they started the young marrieds class, and then at the same time, we had six in and new kids graduate and move away.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I got like five people left.
Yeah.
And, I could have had more, except that the post-college ones that were still single, several of them took that as a slap to the face. Just all of their friends, all of a sudden, because they were married, go into this other class.
Sure.
And it's just a reminder to me as a 28, 29-year-old that I am not one of them. I am not married.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad for them, but it's been a really interesting challenge trying to help that group navigate through that, and it's been hard.
Yeah, the intention. The intention is so good, and trying to help bring people together. And so I don't say any of that to say it's a negative intention.
Right.
But you know, one of my dearest friends from our congregation is 33 and single, and you know, I just think about how does she fit in these contexts for young adults in different areas, and it's a challenge.
But
she's just as important and a vital part of our community. And so anyway, it's just something I've been mulling over as I think about empathizing with her.
Well, and I've been reminded by several people that it's just like everything else in life. There's seasons and phases and things.
Yes.
You know, there's planting seasons and harvest seasons, and you have to be aware of that. I had been working with the young adults for about 5 years when this happened, and it's like, oh man, we're starting over. This is no fun, but it's been a challenge.
That's the hard part, to be starting over again. So when you have young adults, and they generally, the idea is that and I've seen this happen, that they're interested in being discipled, in being mentored. How do you get over that hurdle of making it happen? Because I've had probably two couples and four or five extra individuals that have all had that kind of feel. And when we get down to, hey, come over to our house. Oh, sorry, we're busy. Hey, come over to our house. Oh, sorry, we're busy again. It's been the runaround for all of them. And I understand everyone's busy, but in some ways it's a little discouraging, because I know they always have time for we always have time for the things that are important to us. So it's like there's this disconnect I'm seeing from the heart intention, but actually getting through with it, to actually making that step. And I don't know if there's anything you guys have been able to find out how it works. I used to feed them when they'd show up, but that doesn't happen anymore. Like about a year I've been cooking food, you know, on Sunday nights, and one or two will come. And so I don't know where to go next.
I don't know if you'll like my answer, but I think patience is a huge role. And as I think about a couple things that, to begin with, like God was immensely patient with us. Mm-hmm. Like, we learn a lot from that. But also something that I don't think we think about when it comes to like reading scripture, specifically the Gospels and the narrative of Jesus, is that we get like the high points of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get like the day-to-day things.
Mm-hmm.
So when we read his story, we think in our mind we have to constantly be going from like high to high to high, like every single day. Like, there needs to be some sort of like experience or this moment or like this kind of thing that lets me know that we're making progress. But we don't get that in the Bible, right? We just get his high points. And I think about with people that you're trying to work with, that you're trying to just touch base with, persistence is going to be a huge thing. And I think about my friend Torin. We went to high school together, hadn't touched base for about 6 years, and then reached out to me a few months ago, called me. I don't know how I got my number, called me and had questions about faith that he had with his girlfriend, and like I just thought it was kind of odd that it came out of nowhere. But my point is, God's really been kind of putting him on my heart. And there was one day I needed to do some stuff in mind, just move some stuff at home, and I really do believe the Lord just put this thought in my heart, and he said, call Torin and invite him over. And I said, Lord, like, I don't need his help, like I can do it myself. And he says, that's not the point. So then I called Torin up. Not only did he come, but he brought his girlfriend. And I didn't know she had a girlfriend. Lauren, you know, my wife, they went off and they connected. And he helped me for about an hour and a half, something I could have done in like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
which is really funny, because, again, I'm not trying to like stereotype, but Torin has like piercings everywhere. Like, he's a masoner. And he was cussing left and right as he was helping me move my theological books, like, in my room, right? And I think on top of like being patient, we have to give the room for the Spirit to move. And I think although we didn't have a conversation about faith, about, you know, Torin, have you thought about following Jesus, or or about church or anything like that, I believe that God was doing something in those moments. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to remind ourselves that even though we may not have seen like the measures, the lead measures, the success, the growth that we thought we need to have, mm-hmm. that God's always in the business of bringing redemption and good in this world. And I think that gives us enough faith or enough hope that even if this guy keeps falling through, there will be one day where I do get him, and I don't want to give up on him, you know.
Something that I struggle with in my role at NNU as a resident director is when I was a student at NNU, we would show up to events and it would just, you know, we'd be there for an hour, hour and a half. When I plan events now, students show up to get their like Snapchat videos, get some free food, and leave. So they're there for like 15, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and that's it. So we've been working on like what sort of events are students into now. So it's like the quick hit events, and then they're gone. So now we do like, let's make some pancakes for students at like 10:30 at night so they can get some free food, go back, study, take a cool video, and show their friends. So for your case, I think one of the things that might be almost like intimidating to young adults is we're getting invited to somebody's house for like an hour and a half, 2 hours to eat dinner or something. So what sticks out to young adults? Coffee shops for like half an hour, 45 minutes, you know, like what is something that isn't as intimidating to young adults, you know, and maybe that's something that you've already done. I don't know. But, young adults are just kind of flaky, honestly. Yeah. They just don't want to commit to anything. But they're also looking to take things and make them their own as well. So if you can get them to have that conversation and you're like, I want you to be a part of the worship team, and that's something that they can get excited about, mm-hmm. they will take that and they'll run with that. Mm-hmm. And so if you can get them behind that, then they will be all in on it as well. So it's just getting them to that point, but they're also just like flaky. And so it's such a weird kind of mix. It's hard to count on them, but once you get them behind it, they will run with it if you give them the reins.
Yeah. I look around Hartra on a Sunday morning and we've got young adults in the sound booth, we've got young adults doing the video or the PowerPoints, we have a young adult who is now one of two people responsible for communion setup, communion prep, and she's taking this very seriously, you know, about coming to the church and getting all the communion stuff set up when we have our communion. Lots of different things. I think that they're looking for a place to have some ownership.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But at the same time, you have to deal with flakiness. So you mm-hmm. you know, you have to find the balance. But once they feel the ownership, they're usually pretty reliable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you think they're looking for something real? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think persistence, when you said that, I was like, right on. Because, you know, I mean, it's pretty easy to invite them a couple of times and go, oh, they're never coming, and then just forget mm-hmm. about them. But to see somebody that really cares enough to, you know, whether it's a coffee shop, I think is a great idea. But to really go, hey, if Christ lives in me, if I have been born again and I'm saved and sanctified and I love people and I want to see, you know, God do something in their life, then what is that going to do through me for them? And what is that going to look like? Is that going to look like, hey, come over and that's it? A one-time shot? Or is it going to be, well, hey, I care about this person. If I live in this town for 20 years, I'm going to bug them for 20 years. And I'm going to love them for 20 years. I'm going to pray for them for 20 years. You know, does that make sense? I think it's, yes. I think people so much, especially kids, want to see something real.
Yeah.
And they don't want to just see something, it's over. It wasn't really that important. So,
when I graduated college, that was a big struggle of, like, I came back to my hometown, like my home church, but there wasn't invitations. So you didn't know that you could go someplace. You didn't know, can I go to this Sunday school class? Mm. It's all just a certain generation.
Yeah.
And what I found, and when talking to other people, it's like, we just want to be invited. Like, yeah, we may totally flake on you, but we know that you cared enough to think of us, to invite us.
It's a good point.
Awesome.
Hey, it's we've got the luncheon starts in I can't do the math. 9 minutes. So I think we probably need to wrap up here so we can have a little break before that. This has been good, some good input.
Yes.
I like what you just said about they want to be invited, even if they
yes,
don't come.
I appreciate that.
It's kind of, you know, when you fix the meal and invite them over and then they don't come and then you're like, oh, we're going to be eating this all week.
Oh, it's been a downside because we used to be in that age group, and I think what we're finding is they don't want to come to our house now because now we're in our 30s. And when we were in our 20s, it was we'd have 15, 20 people over all the time. So it's a season.
But
so
I think the culture is gradually changing too.
Yeah.
You know, Roman, you alluded to that with the fact that they're changing. You know, you used to be able to get them to come to an event, and now they're not wanting to commit. But let's close with a word of prayer. Pastor Oscar, would you wrap us up with a few moments of prayer?
Yeah. Lord, thank you for eavesdropping into this conversation, that you have been present and that you have been listening to both what was said and what was unsaid. And Lord, you know exactly at the bottom of our hearts that we want to have a community, that we want to be a part of a community back home that is just open to the people that you love, the people that you care about, Lord. And we just pray that as we've had this very fruitful discussion, Lord, that some way, somehow, that there would be a seed just planted within us and all of us that would grow and to mature, and that it would produce fruit that lasts, Lord. And God, I believe that you have something special in store for every single one of us, and I think that you are up to something very special right now. And I'm just reminded that, Lord, that the church is unique and it has different parts, but it is all one body. And young adult ministries in general are going to look different in every single community, Lord. So would you just continue to speak into our lives, continue to say what it is that you want to do in our unique context back home and in through our lives, Lord. And you are faithful and you are good, and you see every single prayer request, every burden, maybe any pain or confusion that this has caused in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that we just take a deep breath and in your spirit and just find rest in you right now in these next moments, Lord, so that we may be rejuvenated to hit the ground running and to start and hit our knees and begin to pray, Lord, what might you want to do through us, and that we might not be so quick to say, to go so quick to the drawing board and to making up plans, but that we might just stay in those moments at your feet, listening and hearing, growing. And Lord, may we all, Lord, hear, well done, good and faithful servant, Lord. And we are just honored to be in a position to think about, to be in a position of leadership of some sort in our community that you've entrusted to us. And we want to take that seriously. Mm-hmm. And we are grateful for what you're doing in these days. And Lord, we are on our tippy toes looking forward to the future for what you are about to do, because it's going to be really good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.